All right, we're in live world again. Who are you, sir?
Dave Treadwell. I run the live platform services team here at Microsoft.
Excellent. So we've been talking a lot on Channel 9 recently about Windows Azure and the Azure platform. Azure, how do you say it?
Azure, you got it right first time. Yeah. Although I think we need an official like WAV file that tells us precisely what to say with this thing, because it is a word that's actually open to multiple different pronunciations.
Excellent. So we'll ask the Niners to figure out exactly what your shirt says.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's
sure.
Very
this is
cool.
This is good geek. That's a hex number. Tell me what it stands for.
Outstanding. So in the context of what we've been talking about, we've covered sort of the OS and the cloud with Windows Azure. We've covered .NET services. We've covered SQL services. You are the live services.
That's right.
What exactly are they?
Well, the live services are a set of services that help users and developers, mm-hmm. connect with the people, the data, the applications that they care about. And the devices that they care about as well. The challenge today is that users use all these different devices. Like, I bet everybody seeing this video uses multiple computers on a regular daily basis. And I bet everybody watching this video has some strategy for moving data around on all these applications, on all these devices, for moving their applications around on all these devices. It's a big pain in the neck today. The reality is that one of the reasons people love using services is because you don't so much have to worry about the connection of the data, the applications, the people with the computing devices that you use. So a lot of what we've been doing in the live services area is to allow or to build infrastructure that allows users to easily access to all these different forms of information, all these different types of communication that they have, mm-hmm. and to do it in a way that also enables developers to build applications that can also leverage the variety of devices, data, users, applications, mm-hmm. that people have. It's hard today to create an application that works trivially across any computing device. And this infrastructure with the synchronization capabilities that it has in it really helps enable that.
Cool. And so in the context of, you know, the cloud, or the Microsoft cloud, or Azure, or whatever, where does it fit into that, to those pieces? How does it interact with other pieces? And the other question would be, how is it related to Live Mesh, right? We've had Live Mesh out for a while with a yep. programmable interface and things and synchronization. How is that related?
Great. Why don't I first start and draw the standard diagram on how Azure works.
All right.
The pieces, the main high-level pieces of Azure. We talk about the whole thing. If you went to the PDC, you'll see this diagram over and over, and that's all good. So there's the Azure platform, all up. The lowest layer of that we call Windows Azure. Think of it at the highest level as a service-based version of Windows infrastructure. It has things like storage, computation, management that make it really easy to build high-scale services. We figure that pretty much anything that somebody wants to do with services mm-hmm. needs those capabilities. You need mass-scale storage that's inexpensive and highly reliable. You need incredible computation capabilities that can compute at cloud scale. And of course, you need to manage it in a way that's scale out, that does not require a lot of human effort to keep all these services running. So that's the lowest layer, the Windows Azure layer. On top of that, we have a number of these building blocks that provide significantly more richness on top of that computing management and storage infrastructure that's Windows Azure. The one that my group does is the live services. I'll talk in more depth about what that is in a moment, but just to complete the picture, there's also the .NET services, the SQL services, and others. These are the main ones that we're going to be talking about at the PDC. Of course, I drew my box the biggest because I think the most about it. This is the high-level Azure diagram. Mm-hmm. You'll see it lots and lots at the PDC. On top of Azure, we expect all of our applications, our service applications. So think of the things that users use directly out of services will be built on top of this Azure platform.
Excellent. Makes sense. And so when we crack into your big box, let's talk about some of the specific functionality. You mentioned synchronization.
Yeah.
What else?
Let me first say, we've had the live services available for a little while. And we have several components in the live services that have been available for months and years, frankly. Some of the key ones are we have an identity service with LiveID. We have 460 million users who have LiveIDs.
Nice.
And developers can write their applications in such a way to make use of these identities that users have already established. So we have that today. We're making, at the PDC, we're talking about a number of pretty cool advances that we're doing in that problem space. Like, one piece of feedback we've gotten from lots of people is that they want to use LiveID because there's all those people who have LiveIDs already, and it reduces the barrier to entry to their service. But the challenge is that until our PDC announcements, you haven't been able to customize things like the sign-in and sign-up flows. You had to use the Microsoft LiveID sign-in flow, which is fine if you're a Microsoft Windows Live page, for example,
mm-hmm.
but no or few developers really want their web applications to look like the Microsoft Windows Live sign-in. They want to make it look like their own web application.
Absolutely.
So we're providing this customization functionality so that web applications can make use of LiveID, but in a way that really fits with the look and feel of that web application.
Cool.
So that's, LiveID is one of the main live services that we've had for a while. We also have other functionality we've been making available for a while, like the Contacts API, that allows applications to make use of the social graph that users have established in their Windows Live experiences. You have Messenger buddies or Hotmail contacts. There are many good scenarios where developers want to leverage that social graph information to extend their own applications. So those are services that we've had for a while, and there's a few others as well. Now, what we're doing with Mesh is we're adding that as a significant part of the live services. Let me draw a diagram there.
Sure.
Think of this as a breakout. We have this box, and now I'm going to show you the details inside that box.
All right. Perfect.
So this is live services all up. I mentioned we have identity. Can't read my drawing probably. Actually, I'm going to make it actually legible. That's LiveID. We have directory, contacts, and other services that we have available with Live today. The significant thing that we're talking about at the PDC in terms of an addition to live services is the mesh services. So think of this as a big part of the live services. And the major components of the mesh services are access to users, devices, applications, and data sync. We really view mesh as infrastructure that runs obviously both in the cloud and on the client that enables users and application developers to access users' data, users, devices, applications, and data synchronization. Really helps bring together those islands that are very difficult for people to manage today.
Excellent.
So these are the major components of the live services that we'll be talking about a bunch at the PDC.
So, of course, since you're a VP, and it's great to have VPs on whiteboards, I tell you, that's awesome. Let's talk a little bit about the emergent aspect of the system. I mean, why are we doing this in the first place, in your mind?
Yeah. Well, at the highest level, we at Microsoft have been talking for a few years now about the software plus services strategy. The idea is that the way to provide the best experiences to users is by blending the power of local client software backed by internet scale services. And the reason is each provides some interesting advantages. Like on the web side, the web service side, mm-hmm. there are a lot of things that only web services can do well. Having high reliability data access, one good example. When I have a file, JPEG, or whatever on my PC, I might not do a good job managing that file. If the PC hardware dies, mm-hmm. I don't keep redundant copies unless I'm very diligent about things. Whereas in the cloud services, we keep multiple redundant copies of data, so we can manage it very well. Anywhere, anytime access. When data is stored in the cloud, you don't have to be on any one device to get it. You can always get it, your data stored in the cloud. Trivial deployment of applications. When, say, Amazon updates their website, they're effectively deploying a new application But you don't have to go through some difficult, complex install process. Mm. The application, just because they've done the work inside their data centers, the application deployment is, from the user's perspective, essentially automatic. Really big advantage of web applications in a lot of scenarios. On the other hand, if you look at client software has a lot of significant advantages as well. Mm. On the client side, by doing computation and storage very close to the user physically, in many ways you can provide a lot of the best experiences. Things like offline. And we're in a world where we have increasing connectivity, but not perfect connectivity. You know, I'm on the airplane or riding the bus to work or heck, sometimes even the office of Microsoft. The network doesn't work. And having access to the data that I care about is something that's really important to me. Mm-hmm. So if something is just stored on a cloud service, I can't access it unless I'm online. So we like to think of it as an occasionally disconnected world. There are some scenarios where you're not connected, but they're often important scenarios where you really want to be able to do something with your data. So you need local client computing in order to do that. Mm-hmm. Local client computing is also most effective in terms of a lot of the high-level presentation. You know, there's very cool things you can do today with things like Silverlight, but if you really want to exploit like the high-end graphics cards and do very deep, very immersive applications, you really need the power of that local client in order to do it as effectively as possible. Mm-hmm. Local client storage also enables things like a great degree of control. You know, if I have data that I keep just on my machines, I have physical control of that data. And there are many scenarios where there's stuff I don't want on the web. My financial information, you know, I kind of like to keep control over that kind of information. Mm-hmm. And so by keeping close control over it, there are many scenarios where client computing has advantages over web services computing.
Absolutely.
So they each have advantages. The client world has advantages. The web world has advantages. The highest level, what we're trying to do with Mesh and the live services is to bring the web to Windows and Windows to the web. Take the best components of client infrastructure and service infrastructure and blend them in such a way it's really easy for users to access, really easy for developers to build applications that have those same characteristics. So that's the value proposition. You know, being able to have all your data anywhere you want on any computing device, making it trivial to add a new computing device to your world. You know, there's lots of different laptops, for example. Some people like big laptops, some people like little laptops, in between laptops. Some scenarios you want desktop machines. Today, every time you add a new computing device to your world, it's a big pain in the neck because you got to find some way to get the stuff on that machine that you care about. Mm-hmm. With infrastructure like this, it's a lot easier to add another computing device to your computing world because things like your data, your applications can trivially get to that new device. You know, the long-term vision, we're not here yet, but the long-term vision is that I get a new computer, I turn it on, I connect it to the network, and a little while later, it's got exactly the environment I want. I didn't have to go do a lot of special work. Got all this new stuff. So that's very exciting, we think, because it'll make it easier for people to own different computing devices that are suitable to different scenarios. You know, netbook, these tiny little computers that cost $350 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Very lightweight. I think a constraint for people using those will be, wow, they can't handle, the computing horsepower is not enough to handle some scenarios. But boy, I can see other scenarios where I'd want a really lightweight, easy, cheap device and have that complement maybe a big desktop machine.
Absolutely.
And that's hard today. Some of this infrastructure will make it a lot easier.
And, you know, another thing that would be nice is, you know, when you think about the future of mobility, I mean, it's very important, would be for our mobile devices just to
get a
new mobile device, got all my contacts, everything I need.
That's a great point. Yeah, not only are netbooks a small PC, an interesting scenario, but mobile devices are one of the kinds of devices that Mesh helps you manage and helps you make use of. So by virtue of having some data stored on your cell phone, maybe we don't have this today, but maybe a special small version of my photos. I've got lots of photos, tens, hundreds of gigabytes worth of photos. Maybe I'm in an airplane talking to some new friend and I want to show him a picture of my kid. Boy, it'd be nice to be able to just pull that up on my cell phone really trivially.
Sure.
Well, with infrastructure like this, we can make it easy for a cell phone, a mobile device, to participate in your Mesh. And in fact, that's one of the things that we're announcing very shortly, is user access on Windows Mobile 6 to your Mesh. So you can actually join a Windows Mobile 6 phone to your Mesh. You can choose to have it synchronize some of your data. Very, very interesting scenarios there.
Absolutely. So I know you're very busy, so I wanted to ask a couple more questions. And since this is the PDC, let's talk a little bit about the programming model. So one of the great things it seems to be with this Windows Azure model is the simplicity with which I'm able to create pretty powerful web applications and simple deployment. How about how easy it is for me to interact between multiple services?
So. Yeah. One of the things that we're also introducing into PDC is what we call the Live Framework. The Live Framework is, think of it as the interface to the Live services. It has attributes like it's based on standard protocols. You know, of course we use DSPP, HTTP on top of that. Then we base it on RSS, REST, ATOM, all the protocols that you're very familiar with. And we use that to provide a consistent exposure to these services. And because we're based on these standard protocols, you can access it not just from Microsoft infrastructure, but you can also access it, you know, if you want to write a Ruby program that accesses this, Perl, Java, any of them. We have a great degree of interoperability by virtue of basing the interfaces on these standardized protocols.
Excellent. And Ray Ozzie was probably big behind ensuring that happened. Right.
Yeah, there's so much power in interoperability. You know, in the world of the web, the degree of interoperability that the web just mandates, essentially, enables so many scenarios. And one of the great tests of a platform is the platform used to provide compelling solutions that the creators of the platform never anticipated. And one thing about the base of standardized protocols is that it makes it a lot easier for these really compelling and unanticipated solutions to grow up on top of a platform. So we basically, you know, from day one, a huge part of the mesh vision and the mesh execution has been basing it on these standard protocols, things like, you know, even at a slightly higher level, like FeedSync, which we started talking about a little while ago, so that we could get all this energy that, you know, lots of different applications and solutions built on top of the infrastructure.
Excellent. Very nice. Well, hey, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Great. Thanks very much for the opportunity.
And I'm really excited.
Cool. Me too.
Take care.
You too.